peace is a person.
That's right.
Not a place.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Beautiful. And peace is now with us. And peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Christ among us.
From Crossroads Media, this is See, Hear, Love with Melinda Esterbrooks.
Season 11,
episode number 14.
Well, welcome back to See, Hear, Love as we celebrate the Christmas season and we lean into a posture of wonder, awe, and anticipation of the coming Messiah, the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to us. And we are so glad you've joined us for this Advent series as we discuss hope, peace, joy, and love together. And today is all about peace. And who better to be with in this Christmas season than these inspiring, incredible, beautiful, amazing women, starting off with Cheryl Nemhard. Welcome back, Cheryl. Justice advocate, podcaster, international speaker, and director of Women Speakers Collective. Good to have you here.
Good to
be here. And ready to hear you teach. Yeah, I'm ready for you.
Excited.
Besides Cheryl, Nicole Langman, therapist, author, and speaker. Nicole, great to have you here.
So happy
all
to be here.
Sparkly.
Yes, very sparkly.
Wonderful. Then Anne Voskamp, New York Times bestselling author, speaker, and blogger. Welcome back, Anne.
So grateful to be here.
And then Bishop Jenny Anderson, rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto. This is just a quick moment, because we discussed hope last week. What's one just quick learning you took away from that discussion just to bring back hope? What is it?
Hope is not something you do. It's something you receive.
Yes.
Yeah. And so to lean in, to kind of fall into Jesus' hope himself.
Beautiful.
So good. Yeah. The difference between hope and optimism. Yes. I really loved hearing about that.
Yeah.
Yes. And as I lean, put all my weight on Jesus, I'm just going to bind my heart to hope himself. Yes. So I can't lose hope. I'm bound right to him.
That's right. That's right. And that hope is active, it's not passive, right? Like, it's a work that we get to do with God, knowing that God will pour it into our hearts as a gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what I learned on the last show and study was that forming good habits of exhaling, and peace, waiting, and just a stillness and silence, and I'm ready for that. And again, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to download our free See, Hear, Love Advent Bible Study Guide, The Wonder of Christmas, a guide through Advent in the Psalm, and you can follow along with your study guide through this entire season of Advent, our discussions. You can take notes, there are reflections in it, prayers, action steps, so much more. Excited to work through this guide with all of you, and I hope that you also get it as well. Well, on that note, let's get back into our Advent series, The Wonder of Advent through the Psalms. And this week, Cheryl's The Wonder of Peace. And I'm so grateful that you're here to walk us through peace, beginning with the peace candle and explaining peace this season.
Yeah, so we're so excited to light the purple candle, our second purple candle. And this is called the Bethlehem candle. It actually symbolizes peace and preparation. Mm-hmm. And it's really a reflection on Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem and the peace that Christ Jesus brings and his birth brings to the world.
We're going to try to get the peace candle going.
We'll
but hey, good job, Nicole. So the second candle of peace.
Yes. And, you know, we're reading today from Psalm 46. We've got a couple of verses that I want to take you through. We're going to start with verse 1 to 3 and then verse 10. So let me read that. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble.
Amen.
So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble. And the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. And also verse 10 that says, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Well, I love this passage, and I think I want to start here. Psalm 46 actually is attributed to the sons of Korah, K-O-R-A-H. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching for us. This is a Levitical family, a priestly family responsible for temple worship and music, and many scholars believe that it was written during a time of national crisis. So that's important to know.
Very important time.
Yeah, very important to know. And possibly around the Assyrian siege of Jerusalem, which is 701 BC. Mm-hmm. This is during King Hezekiah's reign. It's a very tumultuous time. I think that's important when we're talking about peace in the midst of chaos.
Yep.
So regardless of the exact event, the cultural memory behind the psalm is actually one where the people of God repeatedly saw overwhelming military danger.
Yes.
They saw political instability. Mm. Listen to the list and tell me if it sounds a bit familiar. They saw natural disasters and the collapse of human security structures and systems. Mm. Sound a little bit like today?
Yes.
I
yes
don't know.
Yes.
Current affairs.
And in the midst of that chaos, there is a bold declaration of divine confidence that's coming out of this scripture. In the ancient Near East, that word refuge actually typically refers to the following things. Get this. So when we talk about God being our refuge, it refers to being a walled fortress.
Really?
Oh, or a high place of safety.
Yes.
Good, yeah.
Or a military stronghold. So we're saying that God is a walled fortress around us, a high place of safety, a military stronghold. When we say that God is an ever-present help, what it actually refers to in the translation here is that it is a help that has proven itself over and over again.
Amen.
A repeated, consistent example of help. For the children of Israel, obviously their examples at that time were the Exodus. Let's think about some of those moments. Mm-hmm. Constant deliverance from enemies, preservation and provision in wilderness and in hard exile. I love that the next line that talks about, you know, though the earth give way and the mountains crumble and the seas roar. This imagery isn't just poetic, it's beautiful, but there's actually something deeper beneath the surface here. Mm. It's symbolic language deeply understood in the ancient text. So mountains were symbols of permanence.
Mm. Okay.
So what we thought was steady and long-standing is even if that crumbles, right? Yeah. Think about that.
Okay.
Seas and waters were representative of uncontrollable forces.
Right. Wow.
Things we cannot control.
Right.
Peace in the midst of that, right? So culturally, the Psalms here are saying, even in the most immovable things, even if they collapse, we will not fear. Mm-hmm. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. The word be still here is the word rapha, meaning stop striving, stop fighting, let go, know that he is God. I want to go to Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 now for a minute. Mm-hmm. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful.
So
Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his kingdom, there will be no end.
Yes.
Well, as we step into this scripture, guys, we see a nation in crisis. Isaiah delivers this prophecy around 733, 732 BC, for those that are nerds like me, during a time known as the Syro-Ephraimite crisis. Judah as a kingdom was politically vulnerable, spiritually drifting, threatened by a powerful empire, and King Ahaz was on the throne.
Right.
He was fearful, he was unstable, and listen to this, in his panic, he was forming alliances with pagan nations instead of trusting God.
Wow.
This is important because in the absence of peace, we make wrong decisions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's good.
So here we see in this environment of terror, there's an uncertainty, but there's this message of hope coming through, this message of overwhelming peace. Get this, not grounded in military might or government, but in a child.
Yes.
A child who would be a sign of deliverance. Isaiah prophesies that a baby being a symbol of vulnerability will be a sign of God's salvation. Here's the next line. The government will be upon his shoulders. Guys, did you know this? In ancient culture, shoulders symbolize the following things. Authority. Shoulders symbolize rule and the bearing of responsibility. So let me rephrase that.
Yes.
It says that the child who would become king is able to carry the weight of governance, that his rule will bring order to a chaotic world. Thank you, Lord. And quickly, just his names, Wonderful Counselor, the fact that his decisions change all of history, we can trust his thoughts to towards us, his good guidance towards us, that he's a mighty God. Ancient kings were only called sons of God. Never were they fully identified as God. So this idea of a mighty God, this declaration, this Davidic ruler, it's something to take note of. Obviously, Everlasting Father just gives me this idea of God being a father to us all, a father to nations, one who provides, one who cares. It speaks to his eternal reign, everlasting to everlasting, his enduring faithfulness. And lastly, Prince of Peace.
Yes.
I love this word for Prince of Peace. It's Sar Shalom, S-A-R Shalom. And it declares that the Messiah's reign would bring shalom, wholeness, healing, restoration, power, and reconciliation. This is important, instead of oppression.
Yes.
Gosh, do we need reconciliation in these times of oppression? This is a countercultural approach to peace that we're talking about. Ancient kings were seen as warriors. Here, God promised a child. Ancient rulers brought oppression, and still, or we've got present day people bringing oppression. God is promised as a prince of peace, countercultural. Nations worshiped many gods. Here, God is promised as the one true God. God being the eternal kingdom, bringing that to earth. So there's an encouragement for all of us here. So just as I close, you know, I'm thinking about the kingdom of Judah surrounded by many enemies, having these questions constantly. Where can we find safety? These are questions we ask today. Where can we find stability? Where can we find peace? Well, it's not with political alliances. It's not with might. It's not with policies. It is not even with a thing. Peace is a person.
That's right.
Not a place.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
And peace is now with us. And peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Christ among us. So as we're thinking about peace today and what that means and just anything that I said, I'm wondering, what's coming up for you? What's bubbling up?
Yes.
Talk to me. I want to hear.
What I loved about that is when you were describing the Assyrian Empire,
they
were pretty brutal and cruel people. And so it's just remind me that peace is not the absence of conflict. It's not even the absence of fear, right? There can be things we're legitimately afraid of, but in the midst of that, we can still be given the gift of peace because it's a person, not our circumstances. So I just thank you for unpacking like how terrified they often were, right? I mean, imagine that, what that was like for them. Yet they're promised that they can have that gift of peace. That's just so encouraging. Thank you for that.
It's such a beautiful word, isn't it? Peace. Like it actually has a feeling like when you say it, and I think I'm always drawn to our words, and for whatever reason they just pop out off the page. And so that Psalm 46:1 starts with God is our refuge and our strength, and I love that you were able to define like a walled fortress, a high place of safety. And I think, isn't that true? That's where peace is. When you are when you are in a walled fortress, a place of safety, a high place of safety, and you just know that things are going to be okay, you can experience that peace. And that is what that's what he offers. That's what Jesus offers us. Yeah, it's beautiful. Love that scripture.
I just be still and know that I am God. What an invitation for us in Advent to create space, to light a candle, to be still. Why? To know God. In Hebrew, that word know is yada. It means deep intimacy, the way the way a husband knows a wife too. Can I slow down amidst the holiday rush? Be still and have that kind of intimacy with God. Why? And know that I am God. When I have that deep intimacy with God, light the candle, that peace candle, come close to Jesus, encounter who God is. When I know who God is, I can trust who God is, which gives me deep peace. One of our sons, he has an antique plane that's from the 60s. He knows that plane. So he can fly that plane because he trusts that plane. His wife, she's also an airline pilot, but she says, I don't know that plane. So I don't trust myself flying. When I move close to God so I know God, I can trust who God is so that I have deep peace in the midst of the crisis.
And you know, Cheryl, I love this because I'm like, okay, what would give me peace? And when you start talking that God is a walled fortress, a high place of safety, immediately there did something to my body and mind that kind of went,
Exactly.
Because a walled fortress means I'm protected. Yeah. The high place of safety means I'm away from the floods and the things that can come at me. Right. And all of a sudden, I just was like, oh, that's who God is. And I think to be reminded, you know, a lot of times for some of us who have been Christians, followers of Jesus for a long time, mm-hmm. we forget that that's who he is. That's his character. That is what he is about, who he is. And so when you said that, I was like, I actually felt, Cheryl, like peaceful, peace filled yeah. in seeing the visual of that is who God is. Yeah. That is what he is yeah. about. And then connecting that you said, peace is a person. Yeah. Sometimes we think peace is the thing that we activate, we look for, we try to do, but actually peace is a person in Jesus.
Right.
So I love that.
And you know, I love this. I wanted to tie two thoughts in here. This idea, this word of Rapha, we were talking about it, be still, to stop striving, to cease fighting, to let go and surrender. We struggle with letting go. And I think about King Ahaz in that time of all that chaos and a very tumultuous time that in his anxiousness, he made wrong covenants. He stepped out and followed pagan gods. And I think there's an invitation for us to not make wrong decisions, not step out of God's will and timing, not to look, as you said, for other things to bring us peace. Those are idols. God is saying, be still and align yourself with me and trust me and let go.
In the absence of peace, we make wrong choices. And there's evidence of that throughout the Bible. There's evidence of that all around us.
Yes.
Like that is really, really true because there's this like, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to make a decision that's not going to be helpful. Waiting on the Lord and trusting him and sinking into that, leaning into that peaceful presence, the peace that passes all understanding.
And I think that's why these Advent habits of like sustained prayer and scripture reading are so helpful because something I really liked that you said was that God has proven God's self, right? You know, if you read the scriptures, like God is tried, tested, and true, right? But we need to remind ourselves of that. I mean, my brain is like a sieve, right? So that's why this sort of sustained being still with the scriptures, prayer time with Christian friends, talking about instances where God's been faithful in your own life reminds me that I can be still because God is trustworthy. Mm. Like God has done all the heavy lifting.
That's right.
And we just need to rest in that. But we need to remind ourselves. I know I need to remind myself, which is why I think Christian friends and this kind of study is so important.
Mm-hmm. I think so often Advent, we're anticipating the coming of Christ. Yes. This actually, though, when we light the candles of the Advent wreath, it's formational. It's forming us so that we look for the next coming year. Mm. We actually are forming our own habits, setting ourselves up for the next coming year. That I'm beginning in a posture of peacefulness. And I think so often during the holidays, the pace of the season really ramps up. Mm-hmm. Can I take the word pace? Make some space in the word pace.
Yes.
Take the E of Emmanuel. Stay close to God with us.
Yes.
Put that Emmanuel. Then pace becomes peace.
Right.
Can I change? Slow.
Like if you love Scrabble, which we play over Christmas.
You can use it.
You can use that, Anne. Thank you.
Melinda, in my windowsill, I put pace, make a space, and put the E. Remind me, stay with Emmanuel through the pace so that I can experience true peace. Because peace is a person, not a place.
Yeah,
that's good.
And here, there's just a reminder. It's not even a if, it's when. You know, though mountains may fall, though the waters may roar, and mountains being the symbol of permanence, sometimes we put our hope and trust in things. We count on it.
Yeah.
It is this permanent structure in our lives.
Yeah.
And what a reminder that even that can fall. And see being this uncontrollable force. There are so many things. We think we can, but we cannot control everything.
Yes.
So what do we do? What do we do when what we put our hope in, that we anchored in? What do we do when what is out of our control starts to rage? Mm-hmm. We look to the Prince of Peace.
And I think what's even more powerful, too, is as you mentioned this again, and it's like we know this, we say it, but peace came in the form of a baby.
Come on.
Not by military might, which we think of, or the person that exudes the strength and the vitality and who's going to conquer.
Yeah.
The most vulnerable, innocent way of coming in love was through a baby.
Yeah.
And you have to take a moment where you're just like, whoa.
Right.
Like, wow. And you really have to pause on that because sometimes, like, have really skewed and changed things in our culture now, who is going to bring peace, what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And here, as you had said, Cher, over and over, peace is the person. Mm-hmm. Peace came as a baby to us. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Keep thinking, coming back to your picture of refuge, we can relax in that space of deep refuge with him. Beautiful.
And I think with babies, babies also need to be picked up.
Yeah.
They need to be held. Yeah. They need to be loved.
Yes.
And it's incredible that God came into the world in a way that invites our collaboration, invites our love in return, which is just like extraordinary. That the creator of the whole universe wants me to pick him up and shower with love. I mean, that's just an incredible gift that we get
doing
given.
So, we receive the 100% gift of peace.
It's so lovely.
Yeah. So lovely.
I also
go ahead.
Well, I think peace too. We talked in our last session. We talked about gestation, and the word that's coming to me about peace is something we need to cultivate. I'm not much of a gardener, but how do we create that environment where we're cultivating peace as a virtue? As what are the actions and habits in Advent that we can do that help cultivate a space of peace? Over to
and
you.
That's all I want to say. Ten seconds. Soundbite. Peace is internal, not external.
Yes.
So you're cultivating it within. It's important because peace is not quiet.
Yes.
Because things are still and quiet doesn't mean you have peace. So we think absence of trouble, I've got a peaceful. No. Mm. Peace is how we posture our hearts in the midst of the ups and downs.
Yeah. So we're talking a lot about this, but we also know that we, our friends, our family, our world, our community needs peace and peacemakers. So what is our encouragement to those that are filled with fear and insecurity, that aren't peace-filled? A lot of women are saying, in the chaos, and I feel untethered. What is our advice, encouragement that's needed to step forward and toward peace?
That peace is found in the Lord Jesus.
Yes. Hmm.
It is an internal work and cultivation that happens, coming out of relationship with the Prince of Peace. And that it is not about absence of trouble. That could be misleading or quiet. And also that your stability, your peace, your safety is found in the person of Jesus.
That's right.
Don't make wrong decisions. Don't look to other sources. There is only one true source of peace.
And I like what you said there, because I think it's this sort of focusing on our vertical relationship, right? Our right relationship, that's where the shalom comes from, is that right relationship with Jesus that then allows the horizontal relationships to flourish, right? And that's where I think we get nourished by the Spirit of God to be peacemakers, to be reconcilers. Is there one act of forgiveness that we can embrace in a broken relationship this Advent season? I mean, that's something I'm certainly being challenged with in my own prayer life, is where is this shalom challenging me for those horizontal relationships?
And we can't move towards that external reconciliation until we cultivate this internal relationship, such that regardless of what the landscape or the topography of the crisis around us, we are rooted and grounded in this relationship with Jesus that allows us then to reach out with the grace that he's given us to move towards peace.
And isn't that about the discipline of just being really intentional with our time with the Lord?
Exactly.
Because this vertical relationship that we need with the Lord can be sabotaged by the horizontal activities of Christmas.
That is so true. Like, especially this season, there's so much going on. Yeah. It's so distracting. That's really
we need to prioritize that, don't we? Because there's so much distraction.
And
so many things, so many people pulling at us. So really just spending time with him and starting our day with him and revisiting that time with him throughout the day when we feel that energy or that busyness taking over, I think is really, really important.
Exactly. Yeah. When you start to see that busyness taking over, that's an alert on your dashboard. I need to turn towards the person of peace, make space in the pace of things to move closer to Emmanuel so that the lack of peace is actually my alert that I need to move closer to
him. So what do you say? Because there's women who are like, I don't have time. And I know. It's like I'm busy with the kids, my job, home life, all the things, adult children at home, young babies, my own health, my perimenopause, I'll just name it. And so a lot of times I've been hearing women are like, oh, but I'm just too busy to really have that intentional time or go away for a prayer retreat. what do you say? Mm-hmm. Because what I'm hearing you all say is mm-hmm. you can't do life without this time.
Yeah,
Prince of Peace.
I would say you can't afford to not make a moment here.
Yes.
It's actually critical. And we don't need a physical geographical location mm-hmm. to find mm-hmm. peace. We can retreat within ourselves.
Yeah. That's right.
And retreating and finding time with God. Mm-hmm. There's never been a time that I think recently that's been so chaotic and so, so doom scrolling and trauma, cringing. And I think mm-hmm. there's been a cry for our hearts to find peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So take the time, make the time.
Yeah. And I also think you can invite your children, regardless of their age or stage, into these habits. Yes. That's what's so wonderful about the Advent wreaths or the Advent calendars or like a little devotion at dinner time. We used to read Bible stories, not because I was overly holy, but as crowd control to keep the children at the table, right?
Yeah.
And inviting them to light the candle. So I think there's ways to, I agree, we need our own alone time, but in particularly chaotic seasons, just a few moments where you're inviting the family and the kids to participate is great.
It's a two for one.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
very
it might be
good.
Popping on a headset and listening to scripture while you're doing a workout or washing dishes.
Oh,
it can be your playlist can be worship that brings you into. So try to think through, like, when I'm doing this, how can I be listening to God's word?
That's right. And being reminded of God's faithfulness
or
that way.
Stick a verse right there beside the sink when you're working in the kitchen. There's a way to kind of just steep with Jesus in the midst of everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, too, that I have to say in seasons in my life where I did not feel peace, I actually just took on this practice of just Jesus, right? Like breathing Him in, saying Him, reorienting myself to Him, and always reminding myself that that is who's with me.
I think that's a perfect segue into a prayer. Why don't you invite us into the Jesus moment and let's pray.
Yeah, Jesus, Father, thank you, Lord, for the Prince of Peace. We are so grateful for you. Thank you for coming as a baby.
Yeah.
For the vulnerability, for taking on flesh to be with us. Thank you that you came to us, Emmanuel. Mm. Lord, help us to make room in the pace for Emmanuel.
Yes.
You are the peace bringer, Lord. Yes. Peace is a person. And Father, in this season of busyness, where the horizontal busyness of this season can sometimes clog things up so much for us, Lord, may we fix our heart and our minds and our eyes on you in this season and always, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You are the reason for the season. You are reason for all of it, Lord. And we just ask that you be with the folks, be with the women, the men who are struggling in this season, Lord, that you would just be their peace, that you would be their Prince of Peace, Lord. Thank you that you offer something the world can never offer us, Jesus. We just ask all of these things in your precious, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we'd love for you to join our community because we can't do See Here Love without you. And thank you, Cheryl, Nicole, Ann, and Jenny for an incredible, deeply inspiring conversation. Cheryl. And Cheryl, for the good work of digging in your research for this. Thank you so much. And I want to encourage you that this week, take out the study guide and look on page 7 and work through the reflection where it says, where do you need Christ's peace right now? Mm-hmm. Look at the practice. Each day, take 5 minutes of silence to be still before God and repeat the words, you are my refuge. And then in the readings of Psalm, day 8 to 14, lots of Psalm readings to meditate and read through, and then do an action. Mm-hmm. Take a walk around your neighborhood and pray for your neighbors. Starts with 5 minutes of silence. Those are good action things. And don't forget to download your study guide so you can follow along with us through the entire Advent season. And if you need prayer, and you need to be reminded that peace is possible and that you're not alone, please call our prayer line 24/7 at 1-866-273-444. We'd love to pray with you today. And as we start and end this Advent week with peace, know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and He is with you. And know always that you are seen, heard, and deeply, deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.